Thank you, Cesar.
Thanks, everyone. Has that gone on?
It has. Do you know when you wake up and everything that could possibly go wrong goes wrong? So my iPad decided to do whatever it does. It wasn't charging. But here I am. I think sometimes just God does things to prepare you, isn't it? Because there were some things on my iPad that were my notes that as we went through worship, I kind of felt they were not relevant. And I also think that there are times when you think worship has come to an end. Is that better? Move it away. Did it sound like I was spitting fire at it? Right, but that may have been the Holy Spirit. Okay. But I was just saying there are times when you just get to the end of worship and praise and you think, you know, God, your work is done here. We can now go. And I kind of felt like that this morning, that as we were sort of worshiping, I was just thinking, why are these songs stealing my message? Why are they talking about what I really want to talk about? Maybe perhaps we could just come to an end here, but let us pray. Heavenly Father, I stand before your throne of grace. I humble myself, Lord Almighty Father, that I want to speak your truth, your consistent truth, Almighty Father, the word that you have imparted us in our lives from time before us, today and forevermore, Almighty God. We're hiding behind your wings, around your wings, surrounded by your love, by your grace, and by your mercy in every step that we take daily, and we do not take it for granted, Lord our God, because we know that we are fed by your wisdom, we are fed by your love, but we are also fed because you are our Holy Father. In Jesus' mighty name, as you use my vessel, we prepare our hearts so that you could speak to us, so that we do not leave this room unchanged, but furthering your work and advancing your kingdom. In Jesus' mighty name, I pray. So we've been really quite lucky lately, haven't we? Because we've been doing a series of the Healthy Church from Hebrews and been quite really enriched with the importance of the doctrine and showing us that actually the doctrine has been really quite consistent since the time and honouring the living examples for the people who have gone before us, the legends of Christian lives, and having sort of depictions of how they have lived. And so it's just been really quite an eye-opener for me. And I'm going to read from Hebrews 13, verse 8, which I thought it was really quite a profound verse. So my mother's here, and she's a church deaconess. If there was a prayometer, right, I think I'm a girl who's been prayed for, overly prayed for. I think I'll be like at the top of the scale with many people who've ever been prayed for. Listen, if I broke a finger, if I had anything, even a strand of my hair, she'll go to her church, she'll go to her cell group, and she'll be saying, something's happened to my daughter, can we pray for her? Some things were so private, I'll be like, Mom, do you really have to share everything? I mean, literally, nothing was not said in that women's group. It was called a Thursday group, and sometimes I look at the women and go, you might know a little bit more about me. But I've been privileged to just understand that Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And that's Hebrews 13, verse 8. And I feel like I'm a serious product of that. Because let me tell you a little bit about myself, and that's why I said it's a good thing my iPad got lost, because God has a message. I was born in Rhodesia during what they call the Bush War. My life circumstances say I shouldn't be here today. I shouldn't have lived beyond the age of one. I get told stories about what happened when my mother lived with my grandfather and her brothers. My dad had exiled, you know, Father's Day, he lived it. Right? and he had exiled, left my mother with two sons and myself, and I had just been newly born. And they came, the soldiers came looking for my uncle, and my uncle's wife and my mother picked me up, ran off. I don't know where my brothers were. They seem to leave the brothers when they tell the story, but they're 6'100", maybe that's why. You know, they're much taller than me, so perhaps they could like sort themselves out. They ran off with me, but apparently I was crying as they ran off, right? And my mother and my uncle's wife had a debate of, should we just create a bush and put her under because the soldiers are really coming right after us? And I think they can hear her crying, and that's why they can hear the sound of their voice. Anyway, long story short, she was sensible. Maternal instinct kicked in. She didn't leave me behind, right? And I think because my grandmother had also prayed. So I survived. Before I turned one, I suffered from terrible measles. Was really, really so unwell. I was with my grandmother, was taken into hospital, literally just inches away from dying. Stayed in hospital for a significant period of time. I survived. So many things, so many circumstances happened in my life that I actually think that was not because of my mother, that was not because of my grandmother, that was not because of my uncle, but the same Jesus of yesterday had authored and orchestrated my story, my life, my circumstances, that I am here today. I don't know why how I'm standing here. I was laughing with Chris, and I don't even know how I'm preaching for the second time. How's this happened? And his response was, Jesus. So the same God of yesterday is the same God of today and the same God of forever. There is, so Hebrews 13 honors the living examples of faith, the importance of consistent doctrine. And as I said so far, it has offered us direction for Christian living. It has also offered us looking at our Christian leaders and the governance. And it's tied into the ability to be content and faithful, to trust that Christ is here. He is here for us and for all our circumstances. And I liked what we did last week, because we ended up praying for the leaders. And I think as Chris was preaching his message, he did not know that was coming. He did not anticipate that was going to be the end of how his preaching session was going to end. But sometimes God does orchestrate his own story. He writes his narrative. We may have our own narrative, but God's plan that he introduced before all of it began, Genesis 1 verse 1, that one, because he was there before time, his plan has not changed. His plan will also never change. And the Christian faith is totally complete. It just like literally everything there is to know, we absolutely now know it. Even if some things are yet to be seen or are yet to be revealed, but there is nothing that will come afresh that will surprise us. Humanity may grow in our understanding of the truth, but the truth itself will never change. In 2 Peter 3 verse 18, and I'm going to read it, unless if you're really quick and you've got your all manner of INS or Samsung or whatever else, or unless you've got the real Bible, and you can quickly turn to 2 Peter 3 verse 18. It says, and I always say this verse, say it does it respectfully. It says, but grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To him be glory both now and forever. Amen. And while growing respectfully, I add, respect God's truth, that he will never change. He is the same God today, tomorrow, and forevermore. So now, how can we respond as on that. And I'm going to take you on a journey on Luke chapter 5. And I know, Matt, so you can't keep up with me because... But don't worry, I'm keeping up somewhere. Okay, so how can we respond? I'm going to take you on a journey to Luke chapter 5, verse 1 to 3. If you've heard me speak before, I love a multitude, right? Anything that has got so many people, that has got a multitude, I find myself drawn. I also just find myself drawn to just the synoptic gospels. And I don't know whether that's how my mind works. Like, I just like to cross-reference and I like to just double check. But I find it absolutely fascinating. So I'm going to read from Luke chapter 5, verse 1 to 3. And then just stop there for a little while. So it reads, one day as Jesus was standing by the Lake of Gennesaret, and this is Lake of Galilee, by the way, the people were crowding around him and listening to the word of God. He saw at the water's edge two boats left there by the fishermen who were washing their nets. He got into one of the boats, the one belonging to Simon, and asked him to put a little from shore. Then he sat down and taught from the boat. Now, Simon Peter was a professional fisherman, right? He was an industry expert. I guess at the time there were no universities, so he probably would have learned through what might be termed apprenticeship at this point in time. He's minding his business, as one does. They've had a really, really rough night. He's been fishing all night long and caught absolutely nothing. Now, it strikes me that this morning, in a room full of all of us, that there may be some of us who might be actually going through a similar season or a similar overwhelming element where we have been trying so hard, working hard at whether it's working at work, whether it's in your own business, right? Making financial investment, making time investment, putting all your energy and soul in the ministry, really working so hard, trying to get this building that we all are so desperately in need of. And the dividends are not coming. The dividends are not coming in the ordinary way that you like. Along comes Jesus. You were so frustrated, had a really, really long day, and someone says to you, I mean, that's like a boat, to a fisherman, that's like your precious tools, right? And someone says, give me your precious tool and I will get into it. I think most of us were going, no, Jesus, not my boat. Because if you think of back in the day, those were handcrafted. It wasn't like something that they could just like literally just pick up immediately from anywhere. And Luke paints a picture of Jesus just showing up on the shoreline, but in a multitude and a thousand, a crowd of 1,000 people, he picks up Simon Peter. Now, you came in this morning and you might be just feeling overwhelmed and just feeling like everything is just like literally, I am just so fed up of really trying at this and I'm just on the verge of giving up. Whatever that is, might be, like I said, it might be your work, it might be job hunting. There'd be like young people who've just finished university, you're thinking, look, I've just got my distinction, I've just got my first class degree, I've got my 2-1, I've got this. I'm ready to look for this job, right? And you cannot find it. And that was exactly the same thing for Simon Peter. And Jesus picked him out and picked his boat. And you may be sitting there thinking, well, someone's just said, you know, their leg hurts, their head hurts, they've got cancer, they've got this. I think their problems are much bigger than mine. And you hold back. But Jesus sees you through that multitude. The same God of yesterday, the same God that saw Simon Peter, sees you. The sovereign God sees you. The one who went and spoke in the shoreline in Galilee with authority. Listen, at the time when Jesus was going off in these cities, nobody believed that he was the Redeemer. Nobody believed that he was the Messiah. But what people knew was that when this man showed up, he spoke with authority that nobody else had. People got healed. People shoved and pushed just so that they could get close to him because they knew that their needs could be met. In the same way as the woman who had the issue of blood, who touched his garment, and her trajectory was changed forever. And that's exactly the same God that sees you. Now I'm going to continue and tell you about, just like Simon, I quite like the first disciple. Can you imagine being the first one to be picked? It must have been really quite, might have been quite endearing. Jesus got into Simon's boat. He asked him to push him a little bit and used his boat to be away from the multitude, but also to use it as an amphitheater so that he could speak and his voice can be projected to the very back and be heard by him. But also his eyes, while he was preaching, his sight had not been lost on this man, Simon Peter, who was standing right in front of him. And I also think it was quite deliberate, don't you think, that he called him out and he said, "You push me, right, to away from the shoreline." What then happened is that Simon Peter couldn't go anywhere. There was no place for him to hide. He had to stand and be in front because behind him there was the multitude. And he remained on Jesus' side. But he was tired, he was discouraged, and he was frustrated. And I sort of think at that point it's just like Jesus spoke to him, but also the relevance of it is that he also just speaks to us in the same way that he was speaking to Simon Peter. I sort of look at it and just think, what would I have done on that day if I was Simon Peter and I was tired and there was this man who had healing powers, who spoke with authority, and I was feeling overwhelmed? I would have been saying, look, rather than you standing on my boat and using it as an amphitheater to preach a word, command the fish to jump into my boat and to my mate's boat, because that's really what we are truly after, right? We are not truly after anything else. But you know what? Simon Peter showed obedience. He stood there and he listened to Jesus until he finished. And when Jesus finished, remember, in verse 2, it says Simon got out of the boat. And in verse 3, it says, Jesus got into the boat, right? The two contrasting things. But also Jesus got into Simon Peter's empty boat of, into Simon Peter's boat of empty circumstances. He turned Simon Peter's empty boat into a pulpit, a source of pain. Jesus jumped into it and used the space that was so overwhelming for Simon Peter as a pulpit. Now that's exactly the same thing if we allow him to actually come into our lives, if we become obedient, if we're open enough to open our hearts and say to Jesus, I've tried to do it my way, I give it all to you. Come into my empty boat of circumstances and see what you can make of it, and watch him. But that was not all, because Jesus wasn't going to do that, was it? He wasn't going to make it easy. I'll go to Luke 5, chapter 4, to verse 11. And I'll just like read verse 4 and 5 first, where it said, "When he had finished speaking, he said to Simon, 'Put out into deep water and let down the nets for a catch.' Simon answered, 'Master, we've worked all night and haven't caught anything, but because you say so, I will let down the nets.'" What manner of obedience is that? A carpenter swans in to your space. You're an industry expert, a fisherman, and he tells you what to do. Simon was tired. He also knew that you actually do not catch fish in the morning. That's why they were working all night long. He also knew that you actually do not catch any fish further into the sea, because you need to be closer to the shoreline where they were. And then along came Jesus, who says, "Put out into deep water and let down the nets for a catch." But Jesus didn't say, "You go and do it." He says, "Let's go together and do it. Let's go in partnership. I want you and I to go together." And this is where our obedience comes in. This is where our response comes in. How do we support our leaders into building a healthy church? It's that we go into partnership. And I could imagine that many of you in your workplaces, where you get pressures about your workspace, whether it's your desk, whether it's something, someone touching your computer, someone touching your tools, and if you're fussy like other people, if your pen goes missing, gosh, you've got 3 hours out, because you will spend the entire day in that office looking for that precious pen that writes in a beautiful way. Does it resonate? that writes beautifully in the way that you'd like it to. And I just think that it's the same thing that Jesus said to Simon Peter: "Let's just go deep sea fishing." And Simon Peter followed him, knowing absolutely that, and absolutely with 100% conviction, that there are no fish that you can catch in the deep sea. But he says, "You know what, man? I don't know who you are, but I've seen what you did, and I'm just going to follow you." And he was obedient, and he followed him. Now, there are times when Jesus actually leaves what I call a God margin, right? What we literally cannot do ourselves. And he did it. Jesus, I imagine that this was on purpose. He already knew that Simon Peter wasn't going to catch any fish that night. What he left was a God margin, because how was he going to convince him to actually follow him without any proof whatsoever, right? The only thing is that sometimes God does that to us, where he says, "You can no longer do it in your own strength, in your own powers. Let's go out and do deep sea fishing. Something that is beyond your means, beyond your capability, beyond what you absolutely think is possible." But it's not possible, not impossible for him. And God drags us there. In pain, in tiredness, in a total exhaustion, and in total disbelief that he actually dividends will pay off. And truly, truly, God has proven time and time again, because he's the same God of yesterday, the same God of today, and the same God of the future. He's proven it time and time again that it can be done. He says, "Let's go deep sea fishing." There was a multitude watching, observing all this. Jesus could have also essentially said, "Fish, come in." Remember, he's the one who calmed the storms. He commanded the storms to stop, and they did. And he could have exactly done that. But he decided that he's going to prove who he was to Simon Peter, and he took him deep sea fishing. It says in verse 6, when they had done so, they caught such a large number of fish that their nets began to break. So they signaled, I like this. I think he was too shocked. He didn't speak. He just signaled because he was just overwhelmed with what had happened. They had gone out to a place of impossibilities and the possible happened. But not only just possible, but in abundance. And they signaled to their partners to say, come and see what this man can do. Come and see what this man has done. Come and see how great he is. And in other boats, and they came, and so it says in verse 7, they signaled their partners in other boats to come and help them. And as they came and filled the boats, they began to sink. Literally so much. There was so much fish that they had absolutely ever seen. It was in total abundance. Leaving no shadow of doubt of who this man was. Now they could prove that he was the Redeemer, that he was the Messiah, and that there was something quite special about this man. And when it's in verse 8, it says, when Simon Peter saw this, he fell at his knees and said, go away from me, Lord. I am a sinful man. For he and all his companions were astonished at the catch that they had taken, and so were James and John, the sons of Zebedee, Simon's partners. Then Jesus said to Simon, don't be afraid from now on, you will fish for people. They went there to fish for people. They were there looking for fish. This was their job. This was their livelihoods. They were men. They had families to feed. They had bills to pay. They had households to maintain. And just in one session, they had fished so much, but turned their backs. Because Jesus knew that it wasn't just about the fishing anyway. He was just there to actually show himself, show his possibilities, show that he was the Redeemer, show that he was the Messiah to the multitude. And in verse 11, it says, so they pulled their boats up on the shore and they left everything and followed him. What manner of love is this? That someone that you don't know just shows up in your life, shows you some great possibilities, some great abundance, what you could possibly have. And you turn, you give it all up. You turn your back to it and you say, I'm going to follow you, Jesus. And this is what we need to do as a healthy church. This is what we need to do to support our leaders. This is what we need to do to understand that the same God of yesterday, the same God who comes time and time again into our empty boat of circumstances, today he will do it forever and ever and ever as long as he lives. What do we deserve for his love and for his grace? He comes for us. We don't even have to go to him. But if you're feeling overwhelmed today and you're feeling that you are going through a season where you are experiencing emptiness in your life. You have been chasing something for so long, whether you're investing in your family, in your business, your time, and you are just saying, God, how much more can I do this? How much more do I have to endure this? He's saying, come with me, deep sea fishing. You can't catch it in the shallow waters. Follow me. Now, I want to invite the band to come back because I feel that we're going to take time and we're going to pray for those that feel that they just need to invite God afresh in their lives. Whether you know him, whether you feel like you've, no, I don't like the word backslid a bit, but whether you feel that you've not been trusting him a little bit more than you should lately, I just want us all to go into a time of prayer. I've been in a season like this, and I sort of found preparing for this really quite healing and really quite challenging. My notions about how I needed to do things, because I was doing them in my wisdom, in my power, in my energy. And God said to me, not on your own. Come deep sea fishing with me. And I'd like us to pray, because he has proved more and more that he's graceful. He has proved more and more that we can favor him. And he has proved more and more that we can follow him. And I just want us to be obedient, to be like Simon Peter and say, come on, Jesus, get into my empty boat. I want to follow you. I want to further your kingdom, and I want to advance your work. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, thank you, Almighty God, for the word that you have imparted us today. You have told us that we cannot do it without you. We cannot do it with our own power, Lord, our God. We need your grace. We need your wisdom. We need your guidance. But we also need to just, Lord, our God, to continue to further advance your work, to further advance your kingdom, to grow it, Almighty Father. And that's how we will build healthy churches. And that's how we will just continue to share your message, Lord, our God, to also just share and impart how good you have been to us, how good the miracles that you have shown in our lives to other people who don't yet know you, who are yet we know, Almighty Father, they are still on the way, Almighty God. But we say, Lord, oh God, prepare us to be that army, to be ready to be in that battle, Lord, oh God, so that we can be your army, Almighty Father, to share your words, to share your wisdom, and to share your greatness. In Jesus' mighty name, I pray.